Cleopatra's Legacy, The Enduring Struggle, Chapter 1, The Call to Action. In the opulent halls of Cleopatra's palace in Alexandria, 30 BCE, the grandeur of her reign is on full display, reflecting the splendor of Egypt's golden age. Amidst the luxurious decorations and the bustling activity of her court, Cleopatra stands on the brink of a profound revelation, sensing the unsettling presence that threatens to disrupt the balance of her empire. As she walks through her grand hall, she takes in a vision board and says, "The realm of Egypt is vast, and the beauty of its people is unmatched. But why do I feel this unsettling presence?" "Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile, heed the call of the unseen forces. A darkness approaches, seeking to unravel the balance of light and shadow." Cleopatra is startled. She says, "Who are you? Show yourself." Cleopatra is Queen of Egypt, a figure of grandeur and authority, her appearance reflecting her royal status. Her attire is adorned with rich fabrics in deep purples and golds, symbolizing both her opulence and power. Her commanding voice conveys ambition and a desire for dominance. She embodies the pursuit of beauty, power, and material wealth, driven by her role as a sovereign seeking to expand her influence and secure her legacy. "It is I who speak. I am Amunet, guardian of the ancient mysteries. And Queen, know this. The serpent god Apophis stirs amongst the stars. Your fate is intertwined with a greater struggle." Cleopatra says, "Apophis? The serpent of chaos? My duties to Egypt weigh heavily. Must I concern myself with shadows?" Amunet's voice is insistent. "You must. The balance of order and chaos is at stake. You should choose wisely, for the fate of your realm rests upon your actions." That evening, Cleopatra, in her private quarters, reflects on the experience where she heard Amunet's voice. "The vision was but a fleeting disturbance. Our focus must remain on Rome and the stability of Egypt." One advisor, hearing about the vision, said, "Your Majesty, perhaps this vision signifies something beyond our understanding." And Cleopatra says, "It is but a distraction. We must fortify our alliances and maintain our power. Let us not be swayed by omens." But the advisor answers her, "Your Majesty, while wealth and diplomacy are crucial, we must also remember that our very existence is intertwined with the divine. In the end, it is the favor of the gods and our spiritual understanding that truly sustain our empire." Cleopatra raises an eyebrow. "Are you suggesting that the spiritual realm is more important than our tangible concerns?" "Indeed, Your Majesty. It is through our connection with the divine that the spiritual helps us maintain our place in the world. The gods' favor guides our actions and ensures our continued prosperity. Ignoring this aspect could jeopardize all that we have built." Cleopatra's face, with its striking almond-shaped eyes, high cheekbones, and full-sculpted lips that have captivated the world, momentarily creased with a frown, marring her flawless beauty. "Let me remind you that it is the military and our commerce that oftentimes clash with the whimsical ways of the gods." "And that may be true, Your Majesty," a second advisor spoke up, "but let me remind you that Egypt's spirituality, its reliance on the gods, is what makes it so great. It's what makes Egypt, Egypt. Without it, all of our efforts may be in vain." Days following the vision in the city of Alexandria, there is a terrible catastrophe. Cleopatra rushes to her terrace, seeking advice, trying to find out what is going on. What is happening?
And a soldier says, Your Majesty, a rebellion has erupted. The city is in chaos.
And Cleopatra was angry, anxious to take action against those responsible, whatever God might be behind it. Apophis or not, whatever God, no one in the name of any God can act with such impunity. Guards, arrest everyone involved, even those who were friends of them. Cleopatra took a moment to reflect on her vision of the meeting with Amunet. Does the spiritual illness, does it lie that deep that this would happen from it? A bunch of savages. Later, her best advisors weighed in. This wasn't just the influence of Apophis. This is a manifestation of something deeply felt. One of the queen's advisors started and then continued. We must react accordingly. And punishing the evildoers, we're fighting a cult. Do you understand how difficult that is? The rioters are not limited to Egypt or even the surrounding area. The entire Fertile Crescent could become a hotbed of activity aimed at political and religious revolution, another advisor said. And Cleopatra says, We are involved then in a holy war and something that could have unlimited amounts of reinforcements who believe in this god Apophis. The advisor agreed. The presence of Apophis and the resulting chaos are not merely local issues. They are symptomatic of a deeper spiritual unrest that has gripped our entire realm. And treating those symptoms on a superficial level will not suffice. Well, then how should we approach this issue? Cleopatra asked. And the advisor says, Well, we must address the spiritual malaise directly. It requires a comprehensive approach, restoring faith in the divine and reinforcing our spiritual practices. And it's not about quick fixes or temporary solutions or putting people in jail. We must cultivate a deeper spiritual awareness amongst our people. And the queen, now baffled, said, And how do we begin this process? And the advisor said, Well, first we must strengthen our connection with the divine through rituals, education, and reaffirmation of our spiritual traditions. We need to bring the divine presence back into our daily lives and make it a central part of our governance. And the first advisor nodded at this. Your Majesty, this holistic approach will not only address the immediate chaos, but will also fortify our empire's spiritual foundation for the future. And Cleopatra said, Well, then let it be so. We will act decisively to both strengthen our material position and heal our spiritual wounds. The Queen of Egypt, realizing the peril of neglecting the spiritual alongside with the political, knew that her advisor's strategies, though sound, would take time to bear fruit. As she gazed off into the distance, she could understand that only time would reveal whether her efforts would stem the corruption identified in her vision with Amunet. The corruption was spreading like wildfire through her kingdom, fueled by the influence of the dark gods, with Apophis, the serpent god, at the forefront.